Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it's wonderful to be standing on the Rock of Ages. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Amen. Oh, it's good to be here tonight. It is strange in this world, but we have a mighty God. And He knows how to take us through all these details, all these things in this life, all this trivia in His sight. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. And we can put our trust in our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that we can put our faith, our trust, and hope in Thee. Thou art stability, Lord. Oh, God, Thou art God. Thou changest not. Oh, Lord, Thou art the mighty one, Lord. And, oh, God, we're so thankful to have You here tonight. Oh, Lord, to know that You are with us. Know that You are in Your Word. Oh, know that You've given us Your Word, Lord God. We ask, oh, Lord, that You would bless us tonight, that You touch our hearts. Oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord, that our hearts would be fixed as we trust in Thee, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us, oh, Lord, to not waver in the midst of all the things that are going on in this world. Oh, Lord, help us not to give in to fear. Oh, God, help us not to give in to doubts, Lord. Oh, God, help us not to give in to apprehension. Lord, I pray that You'd help us not to give in to pain. Oh, Lord, but, oh, God, I pray that You'd deliver us, Lord, that You'd set us free, that You'd talk to our hearts, that You'd give us faith, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that our hearts would be fixed, that we would be trusting in Thee, Lord, and Thee only, Lord. Oh, God, for we need Thee, Lord, in this very late hour. I pray that You'd use this word. I pray that You'd help our hearts, Lord, that we would be fixed upon Thee, that our hearts would meditate upon Thee, Lord. And, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, Your word would have free course. Oh, Lord, You know every need. Oh, God, I ask You to meet the needs of Your people. I ask You to touch tonight. I pray, oh, God, that You'd give us a solid faith, oh, Lord, to stand on, Lord. Oh, God, that our faith would, oh, be firmly on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, we need You, Lord. I pray that You'd work in every heart, Lord. Oh, have Your way, Lord Jesus. Have Your way, Lord, in our hearts. Move, oh, Lord, the things that need to be removed. And, oh, God, touch us afresh. Let Thy presence come down, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, as we seek Thy face and need desperately Thy favor and Thy new touch, Lord Jesus. Pray that You'd be here, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I rely on You, Lord. I ask You for the words and the anointing. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that You would work in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Oh, it is indeed wonderful to have the Lord, to have something solid to stand on. Praise the Lord. People are looking for something to stand on. They are looking for something to put their trust in, their faith in. And praise the Lord, we're going to be talking about trusting in the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord, if I could call this message His Heart is Fixed, Trusting in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, trust is, you know, a simple thing in many ways, but yet sometimes it's very hard to find. It means, if you look at the dictionary, a firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. And although that might sound simple, sometimes it's not easy to find something that you can call solid, something that you can firmly rely on as far as one's or things' integrity or ability or character. You know, there's so much instability in this world. Again, this is something that people look for. And it's a wonderful thing when, you know, if you're married and you have a spouse that you know you can trust. That's the way it's supposed to be. But often that's not the case. And it's a wonderful thing if you live in a country where you can trust the government, at least to some extent. But I'll tell you what, I don't think there are any governments that really fit that bill at this point. And, you know, people look for trust in religion. And here, again, we have something, oh my, so vital, something so needful, but is that religion based on the Word of God? Is that religion something that's going to stand the test of time? Oh my, it has to be based on God's Word in order to have that kind of trust that you can stand on it and rest in it. And there's just so many things that people look for. Oh, yes, to put trust in. But thank the Lord, we have God. We have an anchor of our soul. And we know, as it tells us in Proverbs, that third chapter, you know, to go to this very well-known portion of Scripture here from Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, where we're told, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, praise the Lord. No, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have something to stand on, something that we can trust. And clearly this portion of Scripture here tells us that we can indeed trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In fact, we need to trust in him to such an extent that we forget about the other aspects of trust that you might desire in many ways. It says, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, God is true and every man a liar. And we know when everything else seems to fall and be something that you can't stand on, we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. And also, there is a necessity to learn not to lean upon our own understanding. Our own understanding can sometimes, be very shaky. It can be established on principles that are not right, especially if it's based on something that is not in God's Word. And, you know, many people get taken by this because they lean upon their own understanding. But thank the Lord, there is one that is all trustworthy. And praise the Lord, in all our ways we are to acknowledge him. And if we can but do this, he tells us, he shall direct thy path. Oh, what a wonder it is. Praise the Lord. But you know, this isn't always the case. People don't always go to the Lord to trust. And so often, trust is put in things that are shaky and unproven, and things that are going to someday pass away. If we turn to Isaiah, the 31st chapter, and read that first verse, it tells us in that first verse of Isaiah chapter 31, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Oh my, I think these are words to give heed to. And sometimes that is the natural inclination. Oh, yes, to go down to a place for help because it looks like maybe it's stable. Maybe there's something there that you have some strength to it. And, you know, that trust in chariots or things, you know, that move and all that because they are many. And you know, it looks like they can get us places and all of that. And yes, in horsemen, yes, because they are very strong. But sad to say, that's trusting in arm of flesh. Oh yes, because it tells us they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And so often, that's the way it is. You know, the trust is on the things that are apparent, the things that seem strong, oh, that seem, you know, significant, and seem to have power attributed to them, and all of that. But how sad it is when that is completely where one's trust is. And the trust is not looking unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seeking the Lord. Let's also turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Just trying to get a few little verses in here that I think really bear out this point here. But in Jeremiah chapter 17, so much in this chapter. But verse 5 tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Again, we see a great likeness to that verse there in Isaiah chapter 31. But here, it's even more strongly put, it seems. "For thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Oh, it says in verse 6, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." In other words, in a place where it cannot flourish and be blessed. But on the other hand, we look at verse 7 here, it says, "Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Oh, what a blessing here. Oh, yes. We have some very opposites here, some very good contrasts here. That which is cursed and that which is blessed. And praise the Lord, it's talking about blessings. When our hope is in the Lord, when our trust is in the Lord. And oh yes, it compares that kind of individual to a tree that's been planted by the waters. Oh yes, your roots go deep into the waters. Oh yes, you're not going to run out of nourishment. Oh, yes, and the capability to spread out the roots for the river. And therefore, when the heat cometh, it's no big deal. Because, no, those roots go there where the waters are, where they can be sustained and fed and nourished. And therefore, even in the hard times, the leaf stays green. And it doesn't matter, even in the year of drought, it still can continue and yield forth fruit. Praise the Lord. I believe that's how the Lord wants us to be. That individual that trusts in the Lord and in whose hope the Lord, or whose hope the Lord is. Praise the Lord. That's how God wants us to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. It tells us to return to Psalms 125 here for a verse here. Psalms 125, verse 1 here. It says, They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Talk about stability. But here in this analogy, oh yes, those that trust in the Lord are compared to those that would be as Mount Zion. And I believe this Mount Zion that's in reference here is talking about the Mount Zion that is above. Oh yes, oh, the place where our God dwelleth. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, the stability. Just think of it. It says, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. No, that's the stability that is in the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, when our trust is in the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the comparison to that of Mount Zion, that city that is above. Oh, yes, a city that's coming down. Praise the Lord for those that inherit to the new heavens and the new earth. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes. Those that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Oh, we are so privileged to know the living God. We serve a God that is true. And oh yes, what He has declared, His promises are yea and amen. You cannot find that kind of stability in any other place or situation. Oh yes, there's no one else that could meet the stability that is in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Well, that's the tendency in this world, that tendency to waver, that tendency toward instability. But verse 18 tells us, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. It's all positive in the Lord Jesus. It tells us in verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Praise the Lord. Oh, where else could you find an anchor of the soul like that? Oh, yes, where all the promises of God. That means that everything that God has declared is true. It is yea. It is amen. It is affirmed. It is positive. Praise the Lord. Oh, in Hebrews, we were assured that our God cannot lie. Oh, yes, and that's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, it's quite a thing here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. As Paul is writing this, it's quite an amazing discourse here. You just look at this here for a moment. It says in verse 13 here, Hebrews, the 6th chapter, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And you can imagine how this was for Abraham. Oh, he had promised that he would have seed, and oh yes, it would be multiplied. Oh yes, greatly, by the sands of the seaside and by the stars of heaven, you know, in great, great, great numbers. And you can imagine how it was for Abraham as he waited for this promise. And it became like it was never going to happen. But praise the Lord, our God is never late. He's always on time. And praise the Lord, finally, 100 years old, and his wife Sarah, 90, that child came forth. Praise the Lord. God keeps his promises. God keeps his word. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that there is something that we can stand on that is sure. We've got God's word. And if he said he is coming back again, we know that he will come back again. Praise the Lord. We don't know when. We don't know the hour of his coming. Oh, how we see the signs, how we see the indicators in this world that we live in right now. And all those mighty promises of God, oh yes, they are not yea and nay. No, they are yea and amen, as we read there in 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. And as it states here, yes, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Oh, this thing that seemed impossible. So it tells us in verse 15, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Oh my. Yes, it took time. It took time, but God comes through. Praise the Lord. God comes through. And so it did. That promise that God had made to Abraham, that promise he had made to Sarah, praise the Lord. Goes on to explain in verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, an oath for the confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Oh, yes, they would swear, you know, on some kind of premise, you know, to settle things. So it could be established so, you know, all the conflict could end. Because, you know, if they made this kind of declaration, if they, you know, they declared their word in such a firm manner, it was to be honored. And here we know that, yes, God wanted to confirm the fact that his promise was to be, that it was something that they could stand on, something that would indeed happen. And it explains here, verse 16 again, for men barely swear by the greater, and oath for the confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. Oh, yes. Oh, he was declaring something that was immutable. In other words, it was unchangeable. It was firm. It was going to stand regardless of everything else that was going on. No matter how raging the winds and the waves might be. Oh, yes, what God had declared was going to stand. Praise the Lord. So, yes, he wanted to show these heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. And so, therefore, it tells us he confirmed it with an oath. And this is it here, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to know, yes, that we have a strong consolation Oh, a place of comfort. Oh, yes, a place of reassurance in our Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, a place that we can flee to take refuge, to lay hold upon that hope that is set before us. Oh, praise the Lord, that anchor holds within the veil. It's not going to be moved. Nothing is going to change it. It's immutable. Praise the Lord. And we can stand by the promises of God. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Praise the Lord. Oh, something that isn't going to change with the whims, the trends of time. Oh, yes. That's what we see in the world today. Oh, things that are one way one moment and completely different the next. And oh, yes. We're in a world right now where there's all kinds of instability. Oh, yes. We're in great conflict right now. Oh, yes. What we've seen even in the last week, 2 weeks, oh, it's just astonishing, really. But praise the Lord, in spite of such things as a coronavirus, in spite of such things as people marching down the street and trying to disband police officers, making all kinds of declarations and you know, showing all kinds of instability in reality. All kinds of worries, all kinds of fears. Thank the Lord, we have something much deeper than that. We've got something. We've got a hope that's an anchor of the soul. It's sure. It's steadfast. Oh, yes, it enters into that which is within the veil. And oh my, that means it's going to stand. Oh yes, it's been cemented in. And it's not going to be moved. Praise the Lord. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that is set before us. That's the anchor of our soul. Praise the Lord. What God has declared in His Word, that He will do. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Let's look at Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Oh, that tendency to worry. That tendency to fret. Oh, my. That human nature that is upon us. Oh, that flesh that we have to yet bear here on this earth. It tells us here in Psalms 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You see the shakiness of this world and those that might be, oh, you know, seeming that they have some power, that they have, you know, some, you know, means at the moment. But here we're told those that are evildoers, that are workers of iniquity, that they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. No, we don't want to put our trust and our confidence in them. That's shaky ground. That's not solid. Instead, it tells us in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Oh yes, and beyond that, if we're going to trust in the Lord, oh yes, and do good, praise the Lord, look at the promises. And here we have a flood of God's promises. It says, yes, to put our trust in the Lord and to do good. And therefore, we would dwell in the land. There would be blessings that follow. And it says, verily, verily, meaning of a truth, thou shalt be fat. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, he knows what's deep inside. But praise the Lord, how do we get to that point? Oh my, you know, by, you know, taking a wishbone and trying to break it, you know, all that silliness. In fact, we better not do that. But no, it tells us here to delight ourselves in the Lord. Oh yes, to think about his goodness, to marvel in his mercies. Oh yes, to delight in his word. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then verse 5 tells us, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, it's a matter of giving our tendencies, our ways, our problems over to the Lord. And just trusting in him, knowing that he has the answers. God knows how to resolve these things. He knows how to bring forth blessing. He knows how to change the things that need to be changed. And praise the Lord, yes, we can give it to the Lord. We can commit these things unto the Lord. And yes, trust also in him. Oh, there's not other that we can trust like the Lord Jesus. But it tells us, yes, if we can do this, he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day. Praise the Lord, the answers do come forth. And yes, he knows how to change all the things that are abnormal, that are distinctly wrong, that need judgment, his righteous judgment. Verse 7 tells us, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Oh yes, you see the great need to give it over to the Lord and then rest in the Lord. That means to rest in his promises. You know what he has declared? We know he's that anchor of our soul. We know what he has declared he has meant. And it is. It's stable. It's true. It's right on. So we can rest in the Lord. We can rest in his promises. We can rest in his goodness, in his mercy. Oh, yes, in his abundant love toward us. It tells us, wait patiently for him. Oh, sometimes we try to get ahead of God. We try to run, beyond his speed. He knows the order. He knows the reasons. He's got it all figured out. But, oh, yes, sometimes we get impatient. But that's not the way God would have us to react. No, we are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It tells us, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And oh my, we see all kinds of things like that in this world that we live in right now. Oh, it seems like there are many evil individuals that seem to, have some vigor and some prosperity. Some of them even live to old age and just have a degree of prominence and wealth and all, seeming to be prosperity in the eyes of men. But oh my, it's all going to perish, isn't it? It's all going to be cut down like the grass. It's all going to wither as a green herb, right? Tells us in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Oh, it's going to be so worth it. Oh, yes, if we could just continue to serve the Lord and not give in to the pressures of the world and all the impatience of mankind and all of that. Oh, yes, it tells us to cease from anger and forsake wrath and not to fret in any way, any wise to do evil. You know, it's just all so vain. You know, those evildoers, they've got their day. But that's it, you know, it's all going to end. As God's children, we have hope in a world that has no end. We have hope in a peace that never passes away. We have hope in a world where there is no sin, no trouble, no despair, no conflicts, no sin. Oh, none of these things that beset us here on this earth. Oh, my. And, oh, yes, we can delight ourselves in the wonderful promises of God. Oh, yes. Oh, if we could just continue to walk with the Lord. And, oh, yes, hold on to His promises. Oh, we know that, yes, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Oh, yes, when we see our Lord and hear Him say, well done. But I'll tell you what. Oh, yes, it talks about the wicked in these next few verses. Verse 12 says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. It's going to come to an end. He's, you know, definitely, he's just like the grass is, you know, going to be cut down. The green herb that's going to wither. Oh, yes, the Lord knows that. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Oh, yes, they plot against God's people. And again, oh my, we are seeing so much of this in this world that we live right now. Oh, yes, oh, yes, what we're seeing at this very moment is you know, a lot of plotting. Oh, yes, a lot of evil people that, you know, have this agenda and, yes, a purpose in within them to, you know, destroy the people of God. You know, that kind of plotting, that kind of, you know, desire. But we're told here, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And praise the Lord. He tells us in verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. For the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit of the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. You see the great contrast. Oh, yes. Oh, the days of the evil. Their days are numbered. And oh, yes, they're going to perish. Oh, it's all going to be over. And all the little that they sought to do is all going to come to an end. But praise the Lord, such a contrast for the children of God, those that are blessed of the earth, blessed of the Lord, and receive the blessings of the Lord, the inheritance of the earth. all that the Lord has reserved for them that love him. Praise the Lord. Tells us in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 25 says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful blessings of the Lord for those that trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, yes, those that delight themselves in the Lord, that commit their way unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. That rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. All the blessings that God has reserved for his people. And, you know, that's quite a statement. This is a Psalm of David. And yes, he is declaring from his own testimony here that he had been young. And now he was old, he said. But he could declare, oh yes, attesting to the faithfulness of God. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, how precious it is to have our hope in the Lord, to have that stability that is in the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It is such a blessing. You know, if we look at Psalms 27 here, just a portion of this scripture, I believe. But, you know, it tells us, oh, yes, the marvel of being blessed of the Lord. And yes, having our heart fixed upon the Lord, our trust in God. It tells us here in Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. What reassurances we have in our God. Oh, yes, we see times of trouble. Oh, yes, we even hear phrases to the new normal and all of that that we're seeing at this very moment here on this earth. You know, there's this virus that, you know, may be around for God knows how long as far as all of that goes. People don't know how to react. They don't know how to think. So many people are so full of fear. You know, some people feel like, you know, you've got to wear a mask. You've got to keep yourself secluded. And oh my, it's very difficult to know how to think in this world that we live in right now. But as David wrote in this 27th Psalm, oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Praise the Lord. If God is with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And yes, He talks about the enemy coming to oppose him. Oh, yes, even to destroy him, to eat up his flesh, as he's describing here in that second verse. But yet, because God was with him. Oh, yes, they stumbled. They fell. Oh, they were not able to carry through with their intentions. And even if it was a host and a whole army that was coming against him, he said his heart would not fear, even though war would rise against him. He would still be confident in the promises of God, in the ability of God to sustain him. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. And we know, yes, God is so able to help us. Oh, God is with his people. And oh, we have that beautiful story there. Oh, in the days of Elisha, when literally the Syrians came out to capture him. A whole army, a whole host came to capture one man. But Elisha wasn't afraid. No, Elisha, he knew that the angels of the Lord were encamped round about him. He knew that there was a great host surrounding him, and he didn't have to worry. He didn't have to be afraid. He knew that God was with him regardless of what was going on all around him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A whole host. Oh, yes, a whole army coming against one man. But he wasn't afraid, no, because he had hope in God. He knew that the angels of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. And yes, he was able to tell his servants, who saw how they were surrounded in the natural. Oh, yes, he was able to tell that servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open up the eyes of his servant here that he might see. And the Lord did just that. Oh, yes, and the young man who was his servant could see, oh, the heavenly host that was surrounding them. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful story there in 2 Kings, that 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Elijah prayed that God would smite the enemy with blindness. And yes, he was able to, oh, lead them on into the capital city. And oh, yes, they weren't able to carry out their plan. Oh, what a marvel it is. Oh, yes, what a way our God has to preserve his people. But here we see that David had desires within his being. This tells us here in verse 4 here in Psalms 27, what was deep inside his heart. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Oh, for he knew that in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there was a song within his heart. A song of victory. Yes, sacrifices of joy. Because, oh, yes, David knew that, oh, God was able to take him through anything that would come against him to oppose him. God was able to give him victory. God was able to give him strength. God was able to hide him. Oh, yes, even in his own pavilion, under his wings, so to speak, in his tabernacle, in that secret place of the Most High God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a precious God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I know that those that overcame in the times of old, they all realized what it was like to trust in God. Oh yes, to have their heart fixed upon the living God. You could just imagine some of these events that followed in times of old. You think of that time when Moses was born. I know it was a very evil time. Yes, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had, you know, declared that every son that was born at that time would be cast into the river. And here they had just born a son. And, you know, what trouble that could have meant. But I thank God these parents, Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses, though, when they saw that this was a godly, goodly child, they hid this child for 3 months. And then when that was no longer possible, God gave them a plan. I believe this was inspired by Almighty God. God made a way so this child could live. This boy child could live. And yes, I believe God gave Jochebed this plan that she took an ark of bulrushes and she doused it with slime and with pitch. And she put the little boy, her child, in that little boat that she had built, so to speak. That little ark. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. By the river's brink. And you know, what a story this is. It couldn't have been easy to do this. She didn't know how it was going to follow. What was going to happen. What, you know, if it would be good, if it would be bad. But God put faith in her heart. God gave her hope. And she had a trust in the Lord. And praise the Lord, God worked it all out. Oh, we know the story. We know how, yes, the older sister was standing by to see what would happen. And the daughter of Pharaoh came by to wash herself in the river. Her maidens walking alongside her. And God had her see this little ark floating there among the flags, those bulrushes there, plants, those cattails, or whatever they were there in the water. And yes, this Pharaoh's daughter had her maid go fetch this little ark. And, you know, amazing how the Lord worked it out one thing after the other. When she opened this little ark up, this little boat, she saw the child. And this little boy began to weep. She realized it was one of the Hebrews' children. But God put compassion in her heart. And, oh my, a desire, yes, to have this child as her own. And how all the details were worked out. Oh, yes, we know that she called the name Moses because she drew him out of the water. And oh, we know how, yes, he became, the one that would lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. How God would use him in a mighty, mighty way. You see how God took care of every detail, everything that needed to follow here. Oh, yes, you know, Miriam, the sister, was watching, and you know, she asked Pharaoh's daughter if, you know, she would like a Hebrew woman to nurse the child for her. And she agreed. And praise the Lord, the child's own mother was able to nurse her baby and also be given wages. And I'm sure as that child grew, oh, she taught him what she could. And when it was time, she brought that boy to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But what a marvel It's God working it out. God incidents. God putting it all together. It couldn't have been easy. This was a time of trouble. Oh, yes, a time of great trouble. You know, there was great danger. You know, Pharaoh would have loved to have had that baby killed. But God had a plan beyond that. God had a way of preserving that child and making it happen. And oh, God worked out every detail. Oh, what a marvel it is when our hearts are fixed and trusting in the Lord. I think, too, of that story of Daniel. Oh, yes, when it was that time when, yes, he had been given favor by the king, Darius. Yet the others who were under him were jealous of the esteem that Darius had given him, and you know, they wanted to find fault in Daniel. And there was no fault to be found in Daniel. He had an excellent spirit. He did everything right. He trusted in the Lord, and he was very thankful. There was no error or fault found in him. And the only thing these evil men could think of to do was to make some connection with his service to God. And so we know the story, how, yes, they came to the king and, you know, just presented a thought that, you know, on the surface sounded good to Darius. And, you know, it was to be a royal decree, a very firm decree, one that could not be altered. And you know, what they had, you know, petitioned is that no one would be able for a period of 30 days to ask anything of any person or God for that period of time. And if they would so dare, they would be cast into the den of lions. And, you know, the king didn't realize what this conspiracy was all about. And he agreed. He put, you know, his seal to this decree, and he signed it, you know, and oh my. It was made known, wasn't it? Daniel heard of it. But did Daniel alter his ways? Was Daniel full of fear? Oh, what did Daniel do? How did he respond? No, he did not alter his pattern at all. It tells us in verse 10 here in Daniel 6, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Oh, yes. He did not alter his pattern. This is what he had been doing. He had been praying before God, before an open window, 3 times a day. And, you know, he could have thought, well, 30 days, you know, I could just, you know, not, you know, skip it for 30 days. You know, I mean, time goes fast. You know, but I see. Daniel didn't think of that. Or if he did, he didn't go with that kind of thought. You know, he continued his faithfulness to God. He continued his pattern that he'd been doing. And yes, even though he knew that they had, he put this writing, he submitted this writing, and the king had signed it and sealed it, he did what he always did. He went into his house, his windows being opened toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees, as he always did, 3 times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Oh, yes, as he did aforetime. Oh, yes. Oh, the men caught him, didn't they? They saw what he did, and oh, they tattletaled to the king immediately. Of course, Darius now realized what this decree was all about and why they had brought it to him. And, oh, he was so upset even with himself because he loved Daniel. And it tells us that he sought to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But it had been signed. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it could not be altered. It could not be changed, and there was no way to get around it. But you know what? He knew that that Daniel trusted in the Lord. And oh yes, even though Daniel had to be committed to the lion's den, he knew that, oh my, that God that he served, that God that he trusted in, could indeed help him if it would be his will, his doing. And yes, the king spent that night fasting, very concerned indeed. And very early the next morning he went in haste into the den of lions after they had cast Daniel into that pit. And praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 20 here in Daniel 6, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And yes, the king rejoiced. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Oh, I see. Oh, the great blessing of trusting in the Lord. Daniel didn't know the outcome, you know. He knew quite probably if he continued with his pattern to pray as he always had, that yes, he would be cast into that den of lions. But you know, his trust in God was greater than any apprehension that he might have suffered, any fears that he might have had about the consequences of it. He knew his God. He knew that God could deliver him. And praise the Lord, you see the result of his great trust in the Lord. God sent his angel. God had that angel shut the lion's mouth. Oh, they could not hurt him. Oh, there was no way. Oh, no. The Lord took care of the situation. Oh, we know that the king realized the greatness of the God that Daniel served. Oh, yes. And yes, he wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Praise the Lord. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, on the other hand, those that had desired and this end upon Daniel and had brought up this plan, this plot, oh, they were cast into that lion's den. And obviously God did not send his angel to shut the lion's mouth at that point. Sad to say, the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, it tests us. Oh, yes. How it, oh, how it profits us to serve the living God. Oh, what a blessing it is. Oh, yes, to have our confidence in a God who cannot lie. Oh, a God that knows the end from the beginning. Oh, yes, a God. Oh, yes, that loves His children. And oh, yes, has great care for them. Oh, a God who has reserved a wonderful and great inheritance for them that serve Him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. How it pays to put our trust in the Lord. Oh, yes, it tells us if we turn to Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. Psalms 112, verse 5. It says, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance." Verse 7, let's focus on this. It tells us he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Oh, what a blessing it is. Oh, to have our trust in the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. That peace that He gives us, those reassurances, that confidence that we can have in knowing that we serve a God who, oh, knows how to supply every need. A God who knows how to beat every obstacle. A God, oh, yes, who knows how to carry His children through every struggle, every hard time, every disaster that might come upon the face of this earth. Praise the Lord. It says He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. They're not going to register the same in the heart of those that have a trust in the Lord. It says His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Yes, oh, we know in who we have believed. And we are persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, the blessings, the wonder of serving the Almighty God. The one, oh yes, in whom we can put our being into, our needs, our ear, our, you know, all our struggles, all the troubles of this world, you know, all the conflicts, all those things that we can turn over to the Lord and realize, come what may, our God is with us. He knows how to help us. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to guide us. He knows how to hide us, if that would be His will. He knows how to get us out of great troubles. He also knows how to heal us. Oh, yes, He knows how to satisfy our souls. Oh, He knows how to bless His children. And praise the Lord, no matter what happens on the face of this earth, we don't have to be afraid. Oh, yes, we don't have to run like the others might. We don't have to react the same way. Oh, yes, because we have a God that is mighty to help us. We serve a God that can do all things, and there is nothing too hard for Him. And He can make a way where there is no way. You can imagine how it was when the children of Egypt, when the children of Israel, being chased by the Egyptians, came to the Red Sea. And my, it must have seemed like, wow, now they were just in a, you know, an impossible situation. The great sea in front of them and the enemy behind them. And how in the world were they going to get out of this? But you know, God had a way. And God was going to do it, no matter how impossible it looked. And praise the Lord, how it was, how God was able to open up that sea so every single one of the Israelites could pass on over that sea on dry ground. God made a highway in that sea so that they could cross over, every single one of them, safe and sound. Though the Egyptians that pursued behind them thought that they could also, but God stopped them. Oh yes, the waters. Oh yes, the wall that God had created there began to collapse. And the waters fell upon the Egyptians. And they drowned. Oh, that's our mighty God who knows how to make a way, no matter how precarious the situation might be, how impossible it might seem. Oh, praise the Lord. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Oh, yes, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. And oh, yes, as it tells us in Psalms 20, some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh yes, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Lord knows how to make a way. Oh, praise the Lord. We can trust in the Lord no matter what's going on in this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Those that trust in the Lord, yes, do not have to be afraid of evil tidings. No. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if we could keep that confidence. We can keep that trust. We know that the Lord is able to deliver us. He's able to set us free. He's able to bring us through this world. Oh, yes, and give us power to triumph over those that would try to hinder us and destroy us. All the causes, all the diseases, all the crazy things that are going on in this world, our Lord is able to deliver us. Oh, praise the Lord. No, that trust in chariots, in horses, and all the things of this world, that will all collapse. That will all know its end. Oh, my, but praise the Lord. Those that trust in the Lord are going to be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. We have something great to hang on to. We can put our trust in God and know that He is able to keep us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fret. And we know that, oh, God knows how to take care of every need and abundantly supply it according to His riches and glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's have our hearts fixed and trust in the Lord our God, His promises, which are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your love toward us. Thank you that we can put our hope, our trust in Thee, Lord, and know that Thou art able to take us through this world. You are able, Lord, to establish us and to bless us. Oh, God, to supply our needs, oh, Lord, to heal our sicknesses. Oh, God, to give us hope, a hope that only those that are trusting in Thee have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that anchor of our soul. Thank you for your precious promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise Thy name. Amen. increase our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. You know, it's kind of amazing sometimes. I had no idea what Shirley would be speaking about tonight when I led the song service earlier, but it seems like the songs we sang just fit so well with that message. And, you know, I have a note here from Jane. It says, Brian wants us to sing number 19 in the chorus book. And, well, as it turns out, I had picked that one out anyway. Seems very fitting. Number 19 in the chorus book, Some Trust in Chariots. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now by that the Lord saved his anointed, he will hear him from his holy heaven. Saving strength of his right hand, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And now know why that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven. Saving strength of his right hand, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now why that the Lord saveth his anointed, hear him from his holy heaven. Saving strength of his right hand, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, keep trusting in the Lord. Be safe out there and have a wonderful night. Praise God.